In the current school of thought, all good stories deserve a sequel. Mark Twain once followed up a moderately successful tale called The Adventures of Tom Sawyer with a somewhat more successful sequel, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, and so we follow his example. In this reading from Scrooge and Cratchit, a short story by Matt McHugh, we hear what happens next. Public Radio South's president, Ian Lloyd-Jones, lends his voice to the story.
It had been 7 years since what all the lenders and borrowers of London, and even many outside the city in the practice of usury, had come to know as the transformation of Ebenezer Scrooge. With a fervency rivaling far more scurrilous gossip, the good citizens of England passed along the tale of the hard-hearted moneylender who awoke one Christmas morning bursting with generosity of a magnitude normally suppressed by an unspoken mutual consent among the prosperous gentlemen of the civilized world. In fact, the tale of Scrooge was a commodity so much traded at the Yuletide gatherings of rich and poor alike that few of the tellers had ever met or even spied its subject. And, as with all such things, each telling brought an embellishment that would be further embellished in the next generation. Yet, with all this enlargement, the yarn of Scrooge's newfound largesse often paled in comparison to the reality. As a favourite phrase in the story went, Scrooge was better than his word. Many well-off have been known to heed the call of charity in a great public burst of munificence, only to return to the expansion of their secret fat ledgers by next sunrise. Still others, who have been frighted by some private intimation of their own deaths, seek to set right the unbalanced accounts of their souls with a spate of good deeds and a conspicuous merriment in their outward demeanour, both of which melt away with perhaps a few squalls of renewal, like the snows of early spring. However, this was not true of Scrooge. He had bestowed a ceaseless stream of gifts and kindnesses on all with whom he had dealings. He had sold off possessions and cashed in his staggering investments to raise funds for hospitals and kitchens and orphanages. He had visited the proprietors and patrons of asylums and debtors' prisons to plead for the improvement of conditions for the unfortunates in them. In his own business, he had extended, reduced, or utterly forgiven many of the private accounts due to him and his now partner, once clerk Bob Cratchit. This last habit of Scrooge had in fact reached such an extreme that the firm of Scrooge and Cratchit currently stood close to the abyss of bankruptcy, beset by a pack of ravenous creditors, and now in the waning of December, faced with the inescapable maw of foreclosure after the turn of the new year. Such were the worries of Bob Cratchit as he laboured to shift accounts and defer payments for loans the firm itself had to take out merely to continue operation. However, for the moment, he had a more immediate matter to which he had to attend. As quietly as he could manage, he crept across the squeaky floorboards, took up a coal scuttle, and filled a small bucket from a full bin near the blazing heater. He then wound to the back of the office, nudged aside a half-closed door, and found his way in semi-darkness to a nearly cold iron furnace. In minute increments, he drew the door of the furnace open, pausing often as its hinges groaned. When he had it open just enough, he edged the coal shovel in and emptied it.
"What are you doing, Cratchit?"
came the wisp of an old voice behind him.
"Away with you,"
it cried.
"Wasting precious coal."
Cratchit turned quickly to see Scrooge half propped up in a tiny bed, a moth-eaten blanket drawn up to his chest, an open ledger on his lap.
"Oh, please, Mr. Scrooge," he implored. "It's bone-chilling in here. Do let me feed the fire."
Scrooge laboured to sit more upright.
"Take that coal back into the counting room and stoke the oven there. That is the room where business is conducted and requires warmth. I need none as I rest idly here like a lord."
Cratchit surveyed the room, no more than a cramped, draughty cell where Scrooge had taken up residence. It contained only a small bed, a chair, a table, a single candlestick, and a battered old trunk where Scrooge kept the few pathetic bed linens and threadbare articles of clothing he permitted himself. The only thing that prevented it from looking utterly like a pauper's den was a drape of velvet bed curtains with bright silver rings, the one luxury Scrooge had curiously insisted on maintaining. The room at the rear of the offices of Scrooge and Cratchit, once used for storage of old records, had been Scrooge's home for several years now, ever since he had finalized arrangements to donate his house for use as a hospice for sick indigents. Cratchit was not particularly bothered by Scrooge's coming to live at the office. Heaven knows he had done so himself in years past. But it disturbed him that Scrooge had fashioned for himself such an austere and willfully uncomfortable apartment. Scrooge seemed to feel it was necessary punishment for past misdeeds, of which few had better first-hand knowledge than Cratchit, though there wasn't a soul who had known him during the last 7 years who would not have avowed that any recompense he owed for his old embittered greediness had been paid in full many times over. Scrooge's determined self-inflicted suffering was particularly painful to Cratchit, who had watched him change from a bitter taskmaster to a friend and, most recently, a generous partner in business. Almost nightly during the winter months, he had stolen into Scrooge's room while he dozed and stocked the small heating stove with coal out of dread that he might find him some morning frozen in his sleep. Cratchit was spared a fruitless argument by the sound of doorbells jingling as someone entered the office from the street. He set down the coal bucket, clapped away remnants of black dust from his hands, and set out to greet the visitor. "Good afternoon, sir," he said to the plump, well-dressed stranger in the foyer.
"Good afternoon to you, and a Merry Christmas. Do I address Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Cratchit?"
"I am Mr. Cratchit. How may I be of service?"
The stranger began enthusiastically.
"I represent an organization dedicated to the relief of the sad conditions endured by the poor in our midst. Over the years, your partner, Mr. Scrooge, has made many substantial contributions to our cause in amounts I am humbled even to mention. In fact, we recently received his annual donation in the form of this promissory note."
He drew the check from his vest pocket and handed it to Cratchit.
"However, the bank specified here has informed us that Mr. Scrooge's account has funds inadequate to cover the figure given."
Cratchit scanned the note and found himself rather horrified at the amount. With the firm's current difficulties, to even contemplate such a gift was beyond all reason. He had not yet composed himself enough to speak when he heard Scrooge's voice behind him.
"My dear fellow! How dreadfully stupid of me!"
Scrooge shuffled up wearing a tattered bedrobe, thumping along the old table leg he used as a makeshift cane. Cratchit silently cursed his own stupidity in forgetting to close Scrooge's chamber door. Scrooge continued, apparently quite oblivious to the visitor's stunned expression.
"Oh, please forgive me for my lapse and allow me to give you a new cheque drawn from a more suitable account."
And he lifted a nearby desktop and began rooting for the proper forms. Cratchit stepped to his side quickly.
"Mr. Scrooge, I'm afraid that at the moment it might be prudent to delay fulfilling this gift."
"Nonsense, Cratchit! What better time with Christmas a mere 2 days away?"
"Yes, sir, but perhaps a few months hence we might be better prepared to..."
"Many can starve or freeze in a few months, Cratchit."
Cratchit took Scrooge's hand to stop rustling through the papers and spoke low, though a bit more sharply than he intended to.
"Sir, we don't have the money."
Scrooge looked up, uncomprehending, and Cratchit said again more gently, "We don't have the money."
You can find the rest of Matt McHugh's story, Scrooge and Cratchit, on his website at scroogeandcratchit.com. For information on the spoken word, go to our website, radiosouth.net. And for information on author events in your area, go to the Authors Round the South website at www.arts.cebaweb.org. That's www.arts.cebaweb.org. The spoken word is presented by the Southeast Booksellers Association, including local independent bookstores in your area, like Muses and Morgantown, North Carolina. Special thanks for tonight's program go to Kim Dickey, Allison Fields, Elizabeth Amalami, Elizabeth Roth, Derek Patterson, Peachtree Publishers, John Cornelius, and Matt McHugh. Terry Brenner Davis is our co-producer. Our recording engineers for tonight's program were John Tyler and Lou Simmons. I'm your host and producer, Darren Wong.
The Spoken Word is produced and distributed by Public Radio South, a member of the Campbell Collection.